Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
We've been teaching through the book of Ephesians at C3 Long Island, and we're in the fourth chapter. I've done 8 weekends on it, and the team has helped me. They've done about 3 or 4 as well. And the title over the book of Ephesians for us is, Who Do You Think You Are? Who do you think you are? And the answer to that question is probably one of the most important answers that we could receive in our life, because how we think is how we will live. How we think is what we will become. The 27th chapter, the 7th verse, I'm having too much fun, way ahead of my brain. But Proverbs 23:7 says, as a person thinks, so they shall become. And we've been given a gift of a mind, and where we focus that mind, well, our focus then becomes magnified. If you want something larger in your life, put your thinking on it. It will grow. Now, that's for better or for worse. If you're wondering why fear is growing in your life, why problems are growing, it's probably a focus of your thinking. If you're wondering why God is so good to you right now, it's a focus of your thinking. And as we heard through prophetic word today, we're like the tip of an iceberg, and there's much more beneath the surface than is above the surface right now. And God wants us to be thinking about the whole thing, not just what we see. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints. I want you to catch that. Not to the sinners, to the saints. And we're going to see a little bit later on, if you read through the rest of the book, they had some sin problems. To the saints who are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father in the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, has blessed us, not will bless us, might bless us, may bless us, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, not some or a few, or every spiritual blessing. So every blessing, every means of empowerment that the Holy Spirit can give that's already in heaven, He wants to get it into our life here on earth. And Jesus taught us to pray this way, Your will be done as it is in heaven. Let it be done on earth in my life as it is in heaven. If there's a blessing that God has in heaven that He wants to get to earth, the Holy Spirit's the one that's going to do it. And Paul says, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. Now, who do you think you are? There's lots of voices. There's a voice on the inside of me that if my circumstances are good, I'm thinking good. If my circumstances are not good, I'm not thinking good. If someone's saying to me, that's going really well, I'm thinking that's going really well. If someone's saying to me, not so much, I'm thinking not so much. We are so influenced by ourselves and by the important people that are around us. Just in a few minutes' time, it's really important who you have around you. All right? And then there's social media. Social media. Who's been on Facebook today, Instagram? Who wants to admit anything like that? But they're highlight reels. All right, you see the touchdown in everybody's life. They don't show you the fumble. They don't show you the interception. They don't show you the missed tackle. They don't show you the sack. They don't show you the slog that it took them to go yard by yard to put that touchdown up on the board. And we start to look at their life and we go, mine sucks. And there's a sharp rise of anxiety, of depression, of panic in the Western world if you spend 2 hours or more a day on these social media platforms, all right? That's research coming in now to show us that. So and the news media. Now, that's not very encouraging. 24/7 cycle. The blessings aren't getting the ratings. The curses get the ratings. And again, people are getting more anxious and more panicked and more fearful because there's this relentless 24-hour, 7-day-a-week. Everything's going wrong. Everything's going wrong. Everything. And so who do you think you are then? I need to be fearful. I need to be insecure. It's permeating our culture. And things are getting darker and darker in people's thinking and in their hearts. But I'm here to declare from the Word of God and from experience that light shines best when it's dark. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is good news. It's news that needs to be proclaimed 24/7. As Jake declared in the offering, we do need churches on every corner, don't we? But we can't lose sight of the fact we're called to produce, to multiply, to increase, instead of consume and just passively take on board whatever voice is speaking in our direction. And then there's an enemy, there's a devil, there's a Satan who wants to steal, kill, and destroy our mental health, our self-worth, our purpose, our identity, our assignment, and who we are. But the Word of God, the Spirit of God, wants to answer that question for us today. Who do you think you are? Well, Paul says, I'm an apostle by the will of God. I found purpose and destiny. And Paul freely shares in a lot of his letters about his life as a blasphemer, as a persecutor, but he basically says, no, I'm no longer Saul, I'm Paul. I'm no longer a persecutor, I'm an apostle. I'm no longer out of the will of God, I'm in the will of God. And I'm writing to you as a saint, even though everything I've done in the past, I was worthy of eternal punishment. I'm a saint. I'm a holy one. You're a saint. You're a holy one. I'm faithful in Christ. You're faithful in Christ. And we're blessed with everything that God has to give us. So in these three verses, four quick takeaways. And when Paul opens up one of his 13 letters in the New Testament, you're going to get a vision cast of what the rest of that letter is all about. And so this is not just a prologue. This is not just an introduction. This is not just, hey, this is Paul. Hey, you're Ephesians. And hey, how are you doing? Grace, peace. You know, we can read it that way. But in actuality, there's four things in these three verses that set up the entire letter and set up actually who we are. Number one, God has the power to change us. This is Paul, the apostle, writing, not Saul, the persecutor, writing. I used to persecute the church of God. Now I'm called to plant the church of God. I used to try to stop the church of God, and now I'm advancing the church of God. I used to be little in my own eyes, even though I was acting big, and now I'm large in God's eyes. God is able to change us. And one of the prominent ways that God changes a person is a name change. So you see it in the very beginning, in the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, Abram becomes Abraham. Abram is father. Abraham is father of many nations. It's been prophesied to Abraham that he's going to be the father of many nations. If you can count the grains of sand on the seashore, you'll be able to count my descendants. You won't because you can't. If you could count the stars in the heavens, you'll be able to count the blessing of people that I'm going to give to you. You won't because you can't. God is unlimited. And I want to put my unlimited nature into your name. Because in the ancient Near East, a name was a purpose and a destiny. When you spoke someone's name, you were speaking their purpose, their assignment, and who they are. Speaks about where they came from and where they're going to be going. And so it's one thing to say to a father, he's a father, when he's not yet a father. It's another thing to say you're a father of many nations when he's not yet a father. Because God delights to call things that are not as though they already are. And so God arranged it so that when his wife addressed him with his new name, she'd be prophesying to him. Her name, by the way, Sarai, became Sarah. Sarai means princess, but Sarah means princess of a multitude. And so princess of a multitude would come, father of the multitude, would you take out the garbage? I'd be glad to take out the garbage, a princess of a multitude. Whatever conversation they're having, whatever address they're making one to another, it's a proclamation, an impartation, a declaration that God has the power to change names, God has the power to change who you are. And so whatever life you've lived, God has the power to change it. How do you like that takeaway? Number two, our circumstances are no match for God. Our circumstances are no match for God. Circumstances do not and cannot prohibit God from fulfilling his plan for our lives. Who do you think you are? Don't let your answer be, I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too uneducated, I'm too overwhelmed, I'm too fearful, I'm too this, I'm too that. Fill in the blank. My circumstances are saying I'm limited, I'm finished, I'm at a dead end. Don't let your circumstances define who you are. Now, we won't look there, but if you look in the third chapter and the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, you'll discover that Paul is writing this letter from prison. Good circumstances or not? If I was given an invitation, who wants to go to prison? I'd be looking at an empty floor, all right? That's not in our dreams. That's not in our plans to do for the day. No one wakes up in the morning and says, I'd love to be incarcerated. All right, but when you see in the third chapter, in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, Paul doesn't say he's a prisoner of Rome. He says, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. I'm the Lord's prisoner. Now, you can only say something like that if you have an interpretation of your circumstances that's different from most other people's interpretations would be. So here's what Paul's thinking. I finally got time to write. While he was in prison, he wrote four letters from this imprisonment in Rome. There's another one to follow. But he wrote Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon, and Philippians. At the end of the book of Philippians in the fourth chapter, he says, those of Caesar's household greet you. Hundreds of miles away, a church of believers in Philippi are being greeted by people they don't know, have never met, from the Emperor Caesar's household. How in the world does that kind of a greeting happen? It's because a man got a revelation for his circumstances and decided that God is bigger than the circumstances. The circumstances may have taken Paul by surprise, but it didn't take God by surprise. My circumstances almost always take me by surprise. But what I'm learning is God is not taken by surprise. He is sovereign. He's smart. He's genius. He's brilliant. He actually does know how to bring me out of what I'm in, but he also knows how to bring out what he wants to bring out where I am. And so Paul's basically chained to an elite Roman guard, and the elite Roman guard's thinking, you're going nowhere. And Paul's thinking, that's right, you're going nowhere. I have been praying for a captive audience. I have one. Have you heard about Jesus? And they probably changed out guard after guard. All we know is that those of Caesar's household greet you means that members of Caesar's household and elite guard and security detail got saved. God is more than a match for your circumstances. All right? Guys, let's put that name up on the screen. Now, that's a name. Anybody thinking as a parent of a new name for a new baby? I would stick with the biblical names, which are all in fashion these days. So I'll give you a 50-50 chance. Male or female? Male? Male? Female. Seem to be a little split on that. The females are right. Female name. Okay, that was a 50-50 chance. Let's open it up, longer odds. What nationality? What nationality?
Baltic.
Good guess. Wrong, but good guess. Anybody dare? Pardon? Iceland. That's a great guess. It looks like a jawbreaker of a name like that. Wrong. Albanian. A woman from Albania who is internationally known and renowned. We know her as Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa. Now, she was given a state national funeral by India for the work that she did in Calcutta, and she's not even a native of India. How do you get to that kind of prominence, that kind of an influence, with a name like that? She went to her mother's superiors and she shared her original vision. She said, I've got a vision from God to build a hospice in Calcutta, India. I have 3 pennies. And her mother superior said to her, you can't build a hospice for 3 pennies. You can't do anything with 3 pennies. And Mother Teresa responded, with God and 3 pennies, I can do everything. I want that to get into our spirit. Whatever we feel is limiting us, whatever we feel is restraining us, whatever we feel is against us, whatever we feel it makes the circumstance impossible, with God changes it all. And who knows, only eternity will reveal how many pennies flowed into her life to build what she built. And it's not because of a woman who had a jawbreaker of a name to try to pronounce. It's because of the God who's in charge of her circumstances. Third takeaway, everything starts with who you are. Everything starts with who you are, not what we do. And so many people are trying to find their identity in what they do. They'll sell their soul to find their identity in what they do. And what the bigger question is, who are you? Because if you know who you are, what you do flows naturally out of your identity. In Exodus chapter 3, we have this well-known Sunday school story about Moses in the burning bush. And what people don't realize is that burning bush is very, very common. It's a very ordinary thing. I've actually been in the Sinai wilderness and seen bushes catch on fire because it's 120, 125 degrees and it's dry and that sun gets strong and there's a magnification. And I've heard the whoosh and I turn and look and they'll burn to the ground in 2 to 3 minutes' time. It was not extraordinary to see a bush catch fire. What Moses noticed is it wasn't being consumed when it was on fire. And when he turned, the scripture is very clear, when he turned to notice this, that's when God spoke. It's when God noticed that he spoke. And the words that he spoke was, take off your sandals for you're standing on holy ground. Now, again, there's a message in that that's not clear to us. There's no DSW stores in Midian, but we have DSW stores here. If I asked for a show of hands how many made their own shoes, I would be impressed if I saw one hand go up. But in Moses' world, in Moses' life, if you were wearing sandals, you made them. You made them yourself. And what the Lord is saying through the burning bush is, step out of the work of your hands and step onto the work of my hands. Step out of what you are creating and step onto what I have created. And so who you are is saved, blessed, holy, righteous, faithful, everything that Jesus has already died to provide for us. It's who the will and testament is right here. It's called the New Testament. It's been read out. You're wealthy, you're rich, everything you have. Everything he has is yours. I'm not just talking money. I'm talking about the things that are actually more valuable money, everything that we need. So Paul uses phrases in Christ, with Christ, through Christ. In Christ, with Christ, through Christ. Uses those phrases 151 times in 13 letters. I'm venturing a guess, it's important. 151 times he says, you're in Christ, you're in union with him, you're united to him, you're joined with him, you're in relationship with him. With Christ, through Christ, means that his power is your power, his wisdom is your wisdom, his life is your life. When you're joined together and attached to him, 151 times Paul says, that's your new identity. So whatever your answer is to who do you think you are, let it be, I am in Christ. I am attached to him. I'm united to him. I am with him. He is working through me. We have a whole new identity. Theologians talk about the doctrine of original sin. Going back to Genesis chapter 3 in the garden, sin at its origin was Adam basically as our representative disobeying and allowing sin to come into the world so that now we all disobey and allow sin to come into our world. But before original sin, there was original glory. And that's what Jesus, the last Adam, came to restore. The original glories in the first chapter of Genesis, be fruitful and multiply. Let us make man and woman, male and female, in our image and our likeness. Let them be fruitful, let them multiply, let them exercise dominion, and let them subdue anything that comes against them. And let them name the creation, because as they name the creation, they have authority over the creation, but the creation knows its purpose through that naming. So there's an original glory that Jesus, the last Adam, has come to restore. It's wonderful that he's come to forgive us of our sins. How many are glad for that? And he's continually forgiving us of our sins. But he's actually come to do more than that. He says, I'm restoring to you the original glory of your commission. Be fruitful, increase, multiply. Take authority over things that are coming against you in your world. Remember, there is an enemy. Now, there's not a demon behind everyone and everything and every tree, but there's a reality of demonic forces that are arrayed against us that want to stop our being blessed and our blessing others. And we need to learn how to, in the name of Jesus, tell them to cease and desist and tell them to shut up. Everything starts with who you are. So Paul says, you're saints, you're holy ones, you're faithful in Christ Jesus. The book of Ephesians, Paul's letters, the New Testament, is not about more grace so that we can sin all the more. It's about more grace so that we sin all the less. It's about grace. If I declare to you you're holy, you'll start to live holy. If you're righteous, you'll start to live righteous. If you're blessed, you'll start to live blessed. If you're forgiven, you'll start to live as if you're forgiven, and you'll forgive others as you've been forgiven. If I proclaim you're loved by God, you'll start to act like you're loved by God. And so Paul basically starts and just says, we've won. So live as if that's going to be the case, because it is the case. It's so important to be with the right people. Right people lead to the right places, lead to the right things. We need people in our life that are going to be ridiculously positive with a spirit of faith, that are going to believe God, take his word for, and actually look at it. He means what he says what he means, here are the promises, and they're going to see a gift in you that maybe you can't see in yourself, and they're going to try to call it forth. Come on, you can do it. Yeah, it's normal to feel afraid in the human sense, but not in the godly sense. Go to faith. Go to faith. Find the faith button. If you believe you can find a way, you're more likely to find it than if you don't believe you can find a way. So go to faith. It may take a while. Persistence, perseverance, patience, endurance. No one loves those words, but those are the words that actually create the breakthrough spirit in our lives. So being with the right people will lead us to the right places to be doing the right things. Most people want to find their identity from the things. They need to find their identity from the people. I love it every time I'm on the phone with Pastor Juergen. He's just talking faith, prophesying faith to me. He's just speaking to me like, wow, it's just dripping with positivity, you know? And I've learned this. You don't overdose from encouragement. Can you really be encouraged too much? You can be discouraged too much. But I love to be in a movement of churches with leaders that actually just say, I believe God. I believe what God's doing in you. I know you're up against some really difficult circumstances, but you've got people behind you that love you. Get with people of spirit, that faith, of hope, and love. Now, if you're thinking, Friday night, I got nothing to do, I'm going to call up Harry. No one can depress me like Harry. Apologize if there's a Harry here. I don't have you in mind. Who does that? Who does that? We're looking for people that have energy, that are fun, that are healthy, that are strong. So build relationships like that. Here's some bonus material for the second service. We have many young adults in our church that have discovered one another, gotten married, have amazing families, having children. They're just kicking it. I'm sure that's happening here and everywhere. We have a few young adults, I just have to say, their people picker is broken. Now, I'm sure that hasn't happened here. But their idea of marriage and relationships is so idealized and romanticized, and they're looking for the chemistry. They love the love. They love the rush. And what Denise and I are trying to share with them, and our team is trying to share with them, is look at their people, their places, and their things. If you have the right people in your life, have them look at their people. But he's so cute. Oh, she's gorgeous. She's wonderful. He's so handsome. He's fantastic. Look at their people, their places, and their things. And we have an incredible ability to kid ourselves. Oh, I can change him. Oh, I can change her. Ask anybody who's married for 2 or 3 years how well that's working for them. We do not want, when it comes to people, places, and things, a fixer-upper. We want turnkey. All right? So if someone asks you to go out and you're oh, wow. I'm glad for the oh, wow. There needs to be an oh, wow, but ask about the people, places, and things. The older you get in marriage, those are really sexy things, all right? Enough said. All right. All right, I'm a miracle. You're a miracle. The Apostle Paul's a miracle. We've been through 3 takeaways. Here's the final one. Number 4, the way of Jesus is the way of peace and grace. The way of Jesus is the way of grace and peace. Now, every field of industry, occupation has technical terms, because the technical terms open up knowledge, understanding, application in your field. So medical professionals have terms that are many, many syllables long, but they mean a lot to them. And it's shorthand, it's code to get them quickly in their thinking to something. The Bible's the same way. Grace and peace are technical terms. Grace has 2 primary definitions throughout the New Testament, throughout the entire Bible, actually. First of all, it's God's unmerited favor. It's a gift given freely to us. I cannot earn it. I cannot deserve it. I cannot demand it as my due. It is a gift freely given. It cost him everything, cost me nothing. It's freely given, and it's his favor without merit given to me. The second and most profound use of grace, especially in the New Testament, is grace is God's power, God's ability, God's strength. The spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, if you break it down in the Greek, they're expressions of grace of the Holy Spirit. They're grace expressions. So, and even when Paul hears this word, when he's praying about his thorn in the flesh, the Lord says, "My grace is sufficient for you." What he's saying is that my power is made perfect in your weakness. My grace is my power for your weakness. My grace is my strength for your weakness. We're inviting everybody to get in the game this month. You may be thinking, I don't know if I have the time. I don't. We actually don't find time, we make it. Make the time. Make the time, all right? And when you get connected with the right people in serving, you discover your gifts, you discover your grace, you discover your favor. It may be for a season, because the reward for faithfulness is more to be faithful with. The reward for responsibility is more responsibility. The reward for work well done is more work. Now, that wasn't as exciting as the other points were. But the fact of the matter is, if you've got a dream that's large, there's going to be small steps that take you there. Those small steps involve 2 things primarily, serving and giving. Giving and serving and giving and serving, and then more and more of serving and giving and serving. Those are just ways, that's how things work in the kingdom of God. So, grace be unto you, and then Paul says, peace be unto you. Think shalom, the Hebrew word shalom, wholeness, health, strength, integrity, blessings, unity. These are, so when Paul's greeting them, we can be thinking, well, it's just like, hi, how are you? What's up? How are you doing? Just kind of the things you say, and you don't really want to know how somebody's doing, but we continually ask. And then you'll find the person that does take that question seriously, and they begin to answer it, and you know, what have I done? Paul is greeting in a way where he's empowering them, where he's declaring something. He's imparting. He says, may God's favor be with you. May God's best be yours. May God's plus factor be all over you. May God's open doors stand before you. May you not miss it. So Paul's basically saying, may grace and peace be multiplied. May grace and peace be multiplied. It's interesting to me, he doesn't say, may it be added. May it be multiplied. There's a more than quality to the impartation because there's a more than character to God. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible, matter of fact, we preached on the entire chapter over about 6 weeks last year, is Romans chapter 8. And I love the 37th verse of the 8th chapter of Romans. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors. Now, the Bible teacher in me says, wouldn't it have been enough for him just to say we're more than conquerors? Because conquering means we won. Conquering means we've triumphed. We're victorious. We're in the win column. What's the more than? And I looked it up in the Greek, and it's hooper nikaios, and gives us Nike, you know, victorious, conquering. That English word comes from that. Uber gives us hyper, or uber, or over the top, like ridiculously overflowing, conquering, all right? More than, more than, more than. I saw an interview from the 1990s. Michael Jordan had just set the NBA record for the most points scored in a game, 69 points against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And they tried to interview him because they wanted to get him all excited about what they were excited about, but Michael wouldn't go there. He's so self-deprecating and humble, and he says, well, I was just in a zone. It was remarkable, and the team was supporting me, and the team made the openings for me. They got the ball, and he just talked about the team, the team, the team, the team, which is exactly the right answers for the man to give. But it doesn't make for a good interview. And so they decided, let's get this bench warmer, Stacey King. He's a hoot. He'll give us a good interview. He was in the game for a few minutes and scored 1 point. So they get Stacey King up there, and he says, what do you think about tonight? What will always be in your mind about tonight? And he says, I'll tell you, I'll never forget tonight. You won't? Why? Tonight was the night Michael Jordan and I combined for 70 points against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Isn't that a great line? Now, I'll do some math for us. 69 is more than one. The more than was Michael Jordan, all right? What Paul is saying is, I am a conqueror, but there's a more than to my conquering, and the more than is Jesus. There's a church planted in Ephesus that I am the apostle who planted it, but Jesus Christ and I combined to put together this church in Ephesus, and we turned people from idols to the living God. And I've seen signs and wonders done, Paul says. I was there when a lame man in Lystra, I saw faith in him because Jesus saw faith in him and told me he saw faith in him. And I told him to rise up, and he rose up, and he was no longer paralyzed, and he was totally well. Jesus and I combined to do that. That's the more than. That's the more than. That's the more than. That's the grace. That's the peace. And Paul's basically saying, more than to you, more than to you, more than to you, more than to you. In Christ. In Christ. You've heard of the in crowd? We've always wanted to be in the in crowd. Because the in crowd has opportunities and favor and fortune and blessings and resources and connections. And the in crowd's better than the out crowd. We live very close to Manhattan, 45 miles, which can take us 2 to 3 hours to drive if we chose to do that. So we take the train. But great, great things in New York City. Matter of fact, New York City has everything for almost any passion any person has. But our passion's food, and has great restaurants. And depending upon what time of year it is and what year it is, there are favorite restaurants you can't get into. The who's who, the wealthy of the wealthy, are on waiting lists for reservations at these restaurants for 2 to 3 months at a time. We have a friend who's a PA of a high-level restaurateur in the city, and all the PAs work with all the other high-end restaurateurs. And so they would call us and say, would you like to go to such and such a restaurant? And we said, oh, sure, we'd love to go with you. And then they would explain how popular this is and how crazy it is to get in. But we got in because we know somebody who knows somebody. We know somebody who's in. And we walk by these long lines of people, and they're looking at Denise and I, and they're saying, who are these people? Just a couple of preachers from Long Island. You know, How come we're getting into this place? Because we know someone who's in. And we're in that someone who's in. You want life and life more abundantly? You're in. You're in Christ. You want the peace that transcends understanding in negative circumstances? You're in. Because you're in Jesus Christ. Do you want to inherit everything God the Father has? You're in. Because you're in Jesus Christ. You need healing, you need guidance, you need wisdom, you're in. You need to know if you're saved or not today, you're in. You're in. You're in the second service, the 11 o'clock service, North Campus, C3 San Diego. I don't know how you got here, but you're here. You're in. And the God who made you and created you is speaking to you today, and he's basically saying that, if you believe in me, if you'll step out of the works of your own hands and into the works of my hands, I'll show you some works your hands can do. You'll be glad you did it. I will give you the life that you need. I will grow you from the inside out. It's going to be here a little, there a little. Some things will accelerate, other things won't, but there's always going to be onward, upward, and forward. How do I get saved? How do I know I have this relationship with God, Pastor? Paul puts it this way in the book of Romans, chapter 10. He says, there's two things we must do to be saved. Believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. That's an historical fact, but it's also a fact that's alive and present today. Because on the cross, when he died, we died. When he rose from the dead on the third day, we rose from the dead as well. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead wants to come and dwell in every one of us when we put our trust in him. So when you say yes to Christ today, you're saying yes to God the Holy Spirit and his resurrection power coming into your life. That's why it's important to believe he's risen. The second thing Paul says is you confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord. You give allegiance to him, all that you have, all that you are. If he wants to do something, you want to do it. If he doesn't want to do it, you don't do it. If he says this is the path that leads to life, you follow him there. If he says this is the path that leads to death, you don't go there. What he loves, you love. What he hates, you hate. It might rub your fur the wrong way for a little while, but trust him. He knows what he's doing. He's genius, really smart at this, and wants the best for us. One of the devil's favorite lies is that God's holding out on you. And the promise after promise of God's word is, I'm not holding anything back from you. I'm the God of immeasurably more. I'm the God of above and beyond.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.